Well, good morning, and it's great to be together with all of you. If I didn't get to see you before service, hopefully I'll run into you afterwards and just be able to connect with you, see how your week was doing. But I want to ask you if you remember, what was it like after the moment of salvation? How were you received? As we asked the question last week about when you were saved, do you remember when you were saved, that story, that moment, where you were, what happened, what room you were in, what setting you were in? And for Paul, he cannot forget, for the Apostle Paul, he remembers, of course, when Jesus stopped him in his tracks. When he was on the road up to Damascus, northeast, 4 to 5 days' journey, even longer, going up from Jerusalem to Damascus. Jesus Christ appeared to this man named Saul and stopped him in his tracks. And last week we asked, do you remember your story, your conversion story? Maybe it wasn't a utter stop in your tracks. Maybe your heart was just moved and changed, and at one moment you had heard the story and the truth, but the next moment you realized, that's for me. I need to hear that. I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I need a Savior. I cannot do this on my own. And interestingly enough, even yesterday as I was up at the camp, it was just reminded to us all of just how important it is to remember what we have been saved from. That the curse in Genesis 3 is true. And our salvation story is a miracle. It is amazing that God has saved us from our sins, saved us from a path that we don't even know. Sometimes, interestingly enough, I don't know if it's morbid, but I always think, where would I be if Christ had not come to redeem me? Where would I be? What kind of a path would I have taken if he had not come in and shown me that there is life in Jesus Christ? But this morning, the question is, the conversion happened. Christ changed your heart. Do you remember how you were received? What did others around you think when they heard of this? Did you go around sharing to others? You got to hear my story. You got to hear what happened. You won't believe this. For me, it was, you know, eight years old, third, fourth graders, telling them, I sat down with my parents, let me tell you what happened. I was at this Awana class, and this is what happened to me. And maybe it's not as dramatic as some stories, but to me, now looking back, it's still a miracle. And for some of you, though, your story of conversion, it came across to others in very different ways. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, is three reactions to conversion. For some of you in this room, some of your family members have turned against you. For some of you in this room, your circle of friends completely changed. For some of you, your circle of friends became even stronger. And some were excited about your story and were celebrating with you. We all have different histories and different stories. And this morning we're going to look at the reactions of the people that were around this man named Saul. As he was saved, what was the reactions of the people in his day? So do you remember how you were received? And why do I use this word remember? Because it's just so important that we look back at what God has been doing to give us faith for what is ahead. This is for me. I'm speaking this of myself. It's so important that we see his past faithfulness to know that his future promises and his present promises are going to be true. And we need to be reminded over and over again, just as we read this morning, the people of Israel opened the law in probably a very hot location outside a large group of people. And some of you are already saying, can I just stay home for that occasion? And yet they all are together out there opening the Word of God as Ezra the priest is preaching and proclaiming, and they're there for hours. That is the impact of remembering. And after that reading, after that worship time, it said they repented and they wept, and there was tears of joy and tears of sorrow for what they had done and how they had run from their Lord. That's the power of remembering. And I guess if you get anything out of today, when we remember the reactions of those around us when we were saved, I want us to remind ourselves that God took us through those moments, because what matters most is what God thought of you and what he thinks of you now. And your courage and boldness today stems out of what God says of you right now. And we're going to finish this sermon, I pray, in a timely manner, just looking at what God says of us, to remind us that there's always going to be reactions of others around us to our faith, but what keeps us secure and strong is knowing the Word of God and knowing what he says about us. But first, let's look at this section, let's read through it, and let's look at the three different reactions that I believe are shown here in Acts chapter 9 to the man named Saul and his conversion. So Acts 9, verse 19, the second part of that, it's kind of a new paragraph. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. When many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him. But his disciples took him by night and led him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. And he spoke and disputed against the Hellenists, but they were seeking to kill him. And when the brothers learned this, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarshish. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It multiplied. Let me just pray as we look into this text together. Father God, you are the God who knows every detail about us. In your plan, Lord, you had our names written on your heart. And just like we see the story of Saul coming from darkness into the light, being met by Jesus Christ on the road, this blazing light in front of him, you completely changed his life. And as you promised to your disciples in the Gospels, what was still true for every believer and what is true for us today is that you are with us. You say that you will never leave us or forsake us. And to have you with us through the water, through the fire, through the storms, Lord, I pray that we can see that that is enough. We don't need possessions of the world. We don't need acclamation. We don't need titles. We don't need other things as much as we need you, God. And to have you is to have enough. To have you is to be secure in all these things. And Lord, maybe we still get reactions from people as we share Jesus. May we be reminded that you are our Father. You are holding us in your hand. You're not letting us go. And you love us dearly as your children. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's three different areas, three different groups of people that we see in Acts chapter 9. There are some who are amazed. It says there in verse 20 and 21 that when the crowds saw that this man named Saul was proclaiming that Jesus was the Son of God, they were amazed. Of course, anyone would be if they knew who this man was. Wait, wasn't he the one who was going to come and put Christian? Wasn't he against Jesus? What has happened to this man? And for us, some of those questions might have come up in your story. What has happened to this man? What has happened to this woman? What has happened to my friend? What has happened to my sister or my brother? They've gone, as they might see it, they've gone crazy. They're talking about Jesus and that Jesus loves them and that Jesus has changed them. But I know my brother, I know my sister, I know who this person was. What has happened here? And some will bring this same past when we have changed into our lives and say, well, what I remember when you were this. Well, what about this? And some of you even shared, well, that no longer is what I'm living for. That no longer is what I'm pursuing. Jesus Christ has come and changed me. Well, you know, imagine they might come to Paul even after he's preaching. They might, you know, they might come up and visit with him afterwards or something and say, So wait, I'm still confused. You say Jesus is the Son of God. I thought you were persecuting Christians. No, let me tell you my story. Everything is completely different. Let me tell you, I'm a changed man. And for us, some of us have said, I'm a changed man. I'm a changed woman. And for some who are just kind of looking into our lives, they're amazed. How did that happen? Who's done this? Where did my old friend go? Where did my old brother or sister go? For some, they're glad. They were glad for a change. They were excited to see change. For fellow Christians and those in the church, excited, thankful. Look at what we've seen in you. You used to do this, and now you are a new creation, as the scripture tells us. Some are amazed because, and Luke uses this word again, Saul was wreaking havoc. This is a word for destruction and chaos and bloodshed and murder. He, as he says even later, actually, if you would turn with me, go just later into the book, Acts 26:11. And he's telling the King Agrippa, here's my story. And this even fleshes out what he was doing even more. In Acts 26:11, it says, and I punished them often in all the synagogues and tried to make them blaspheme. And in raging fury against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities." This gives us even a more big understanding of what this word havoc meant. In raging fury, Saul was just on fire against the church. So, yes, the people are amazed. What has happened to this Saul? What has happened to this man? And I think it's actually good for us, and maybe I've said this already, but to look back and say, remember when I was, remember when I did? Wasn't I the one? And yet the gospel, the beautiful gospel says, you are a new creation. You have been changed from that. God has changed your heart, and he is still working in your heart. And you can say, I don't know where I would have been, but it would have not been a pretty path had not Jesus Christ come and saved me, rescued me. For me, it actually, I don't know, like some of us, we think of lives that are leading destructive paths, harming ourselves, harming those around us. But there's even the destructive path where I was, you know, part of in my family of thinking I had everything right and everyone else was wrong, and judging and criticizing and pointing the blame and saying, I caught you, you're in trouble. And, you know, I don't know, what would that have looked like in my day as a 20-year-old? I don't know. I knew what it looked like when I was 8, 9, and 10, and, kind of becoming the nemesis of my brothers and sisters. But there's two sides to our sin. There's the side of destruction, but there's also the side of pride and of thinking that we have everything together. And that also actually can hurt and ruin people. And God saves us even from our pride of thinking that we are the best of the best and that we can do it on our own. The gospel says we need Jesus Christ. We need him to rescue us out of whatever sin it is. We can't do this on our own. We're not perfect. We're not holier than thou people. We need a Savior. Everyone comes to Jesus kneeling at the cross. No one is left untouched. So we remember, and we ourselves are even amazed at what God has done in us. But not just amazement from some, but persecution from even his own. Saul was taught under the Pharisee of Pharisees, under a leader, Gamaliel. He knew lots of things about the Jewish nation. He knew his history. He knew all kinds of things. And yet, as we read in Acts 9, what's it say? Acts 9. It confounded the Jews in verse 22. They were thrown into chaos. What do we do? This was our prized fighter. This was the one who went out and took care of our churches and got Christians in prison, and he was on a raging fury. What has happened to our prized man, our leader? He was taking care of this problem, these followers of the name Jesus. Wait, did I just hear that now he's proclaiming Jesus as the Son of God? They're thrown in utter chaos. What do we do now? What do we do with this Saul? And it's interesting, but in Galatians, there's an account where Paul goes off for actually a few years to be prepared and trained and ready. And we believe, as scholars and commentators have studied, that in between 22 and verse 23, when many days had passed, that was many, many days, that now Saul comes back into Damascus, and where are the Jews? They want to kill him. They go from chaos to, here's the next leader of the church. He needs to die. Just as we've been seeing in this account of Acts, Stephen, the first martyr, proclaiming the name of Jesus, Stephen needs to die. And now the proponent of everything Jewish has been changed forever to proclaim not just tradition, but to proclaim the Savior, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. He is now the one that they want to kill. He is now the one that they want to see end his life. What's amazing is, and what's a struggle is, I know for some of you have those kind of stories where you were brought to faith in a family that rejects faith, that rejects Jesus. For some today in other countries, they're having to choose life and a rejection of Jesus or acceptance of the gospel and death. For many, if they accept Jesus, they've lost their family. Their family disowns them. That might be true for one of your stories. That not everyone is just amazed at conversion. Some reject the conversion. Some persecute those who have come to Jesus Christ. And who knows what that might look for you, but that's the truth even today, is when we speak of Jesus Christ in our communities and in the public and in the world, there is much persecution. There is much that will come against us. And it's easy to be wavering in our faith in that persecution. But I believe, as we keep seeing in the book of Acts, God strengthens us in those times when we are vulnerable. He gives us a stronger faith and a stronger conviction that what Jesus has said and what he did and who he is true. I cannot go back. I mean, the biggest testimony that Saul has, he's never going to go back. He's seen Jesus Christ. He met him on the road. And we'll get to the end of Acts, but if you would, just go back one more time to Acts 26 to look at that account. Acts 26. There isn't much said in Acts chapter 9 of what Jesus says to Saul. But in Acts 26, as Saul, or as the Apostle Paul at this time, recounts his testimony, there's a lot that Jesus said to Saul on the road to Damascus. Look at Acts chapter 26, beginning in verse 14. Acts 26, 14. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Jesus even says that there is going to be persecution, Saul, from your own people. And I am sending you to them, and I am sending you to the Gentiles and to the whole world. Sometimes the reaction of our conversion story is not just amazement or even encouragement. Welcome to the family celebration. Sometimes it involves those who turn against us. Some of us understand that. And yet for Paul, he didn't waver, he didn't doubt. He preached Jesus Christ in the synagogues. Third and last, though, what's wonderful about this story and where the highlight of it is that the church, it took some time, but the church welcomed this new conversion, this new man, Saul. Look at this. And when he had come to Jerusalem, verse 26, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. And I love this, verse 27 of Acts chapter 9. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. This is where I just get excited, because this is what our church is called and here to do. Is that here's a man named Barnabas. And if you know, he actually becomes a teammate of the Apostle Paul as he sent out in mission trips. Paul and Barnabas, if you read that, here is a man who comes first to this convert, Saul. And it says the church was skeptical. Wasn't this the man who was persecuting Christians? You're saying he's a disciple of the Lord? Are you sure? And yet this Barnabas, just like some of you in the church, you reach out and you give them a welcome of the hand, or a welcome of a greeting, or a welcome of a smile, and say, this is family here. If you know Jesus Christ, you're family. And for Saul, you think of it, his whole history and his own nation of the Jewish people are now against him. And now he's trying to go to the church. And the church says they wouldn't accept him. Well, it wasn't he the one who was persecuting? And here's a man in the church, Barnabas, who has the faith to say, I believe you're a disciple of the Lord. And he takes him to the apostles. And he defends for this man, Saul. No, his story is true. I've seen it. I know what happened in Damascus. I've heard of it. He is actually proclaiming that Jesus is the Son of God in the synagogues. It's true. He's been changed. We need to accept him. And again, I know I say this, but you might be that one person that someone else needs the extension of your hand, the extension of your smile, the greet, the welcoming face to say, there's grace here. We believe in the gospel here. We believe that God can change anyone here. And his word can change anyone. And I believe somehow Barnabas understood this. Jesus can change even the persecutor of the church, Saul. And he takes him, and he becomes a brother in Christ to him, and possibly a huge mentor and a faithful friend as they go on mission together and go on trips together. Here's this Barnabas who says, welcome, Saul. Welcome to the church. And I pray that some of you who maybe had a rough conversion story can say, you know, I remember this friend welcomed me, this church welcomed me, this pastor welcomed me, this fill in the blank. When I was changed, I didn't know what to do, but there was a welcome for me. May we be a church that is always willing to be grace-filled, welcoming those who are asking questions, who may have just come to know Jesus Christ, who haven't yet trusted in Jesus Christ. May we say, you are welcome here. You know why? Because Jesus Christ, he came to Paul Parker and he said, I'm extending my hand to you. And you're welcome in the family. He came to me and welcomed me into being a son of the God of the universe, heir to the kingdom of God. Because of what Christ has done in the gospel, I don't have the right to shun somebody and to say, you can't have the grace of God, and to say, depart and be removed. I am supposed to say the gospel is for all people. Jesus Christ and his goodness is for all children and college students and young adults and working families and older senior saints that are even asking questions at an old age of, I need to know what's going to happen after this life. That's where Jesus Christ reaches all people. That's what we need to pray for, because we have a story to tell. And I kind of wonder, did Saul ever look back? We kind of know he looked back because he shared his story with those who asked him, tell me who you are, Apostle Paul. Why are you here before me, King Agrippa? Why are you in this council arrested and on trial? Well, let me tell you my story. I think the Apostle Paul didn't forget those things. He didn't forget about Barnabas. He didn't forget about that man or that woman who reached out and said, let me help you in your faith. Let me help you grow and help you learn Scripture. And I mean, God's given me a blessing to help teenagers these last 3 years, and now to help many more. But it is a huge gift to say, let me show you what the Word of God teaches. Let me help you grow in your faith. May we have a heart to do that with anyone else who asks us questions about who is God, who is Jesus Christ. Maybe they'll even come and say, I've trusted in Jesus. You won't believe it, but he's changed things. What now? Of course, you might say, well, okay, I'll take you to Pastor Paul. But I would encourage you, be that Barnabas. Be that person in the church that comes alongside and says, well, let me help you. You know, and what Barnabas did is he took Saul to the leaders. And he said, here's Saul and here's his story and he's changed. What do we do? And look at this. I love this. It says in Acts 9, in verse 28, so he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. He was now family. He came and he went and he went in and he went out and he was among the people. He was with the church. They had taken him in. And yet still more, even the Hellenists were seeking to kill him. And he, in God's plan, escapes Jerusalem to go back to his hometown to begin to minister to Gentiles. Remember what we read in Acts 26? Jesus told him, you will be rejected by your own people, but I'm going to send you to the Gentiles to be a light for those who are in darkness, who have not had this history and this heritage of the Messiah and the law. They don't know anything. I'm sending you, Apostle Paul, to the Gentiles to show them the light of Jesus Christ. So what happened to the church? Verse 31. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it, the church, multiplied. Why was the church experiencing peace? Because the Holy Spirit gives peace. But even more importantly, the main persecutor of the church had been changed. Of course there would have been peace. The Lord gave calm to the churches. They didn't have to now worry about this Saul who was going about ravaging Christians. He was now a Christian. So there was peace. And they walked in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I pray for Pleasant Hill Baptist Church that we will be a church of welcome and a church of peace. A church of grace that says we will love even the unlovables. And we will share the peace of God with those who don't understand peace. And we will welcome and not push away and not reject. But what's interesting is it says the church grew and they walked in the fear of the Lord. And I really believe that Saul, or the Apostle Paul, he remained steadfast because he had seen the Lord. It was reality. Jesus Christ had spoken to him and said, "This is who you're going to be." And I want us to just close by reminding us that Scripture, this precious book we have, says over and over again who we are, what God says of us believers. And if you don't know Jesus Christ this morning, he welcomes you and calls you and says, "Come to Jesus, who can forgive sins and save you from your sin." Because this is what God says of us. And just so you know, there's a whole list of these out on the lobby if you want to grab some on your way out. What does God say of you? Of you? Of me? Genesis 1:27. "I created you in my image." Genesis 1:26. "I have given you authority over all living creatures, animals and birds, etc." Genesis 2:7. "I am your creator. I breathed into you the breath of life." Psalm 8:5. "I have crowned you with glory and honor." Psalm 16:11. "I have forever pleasures at my right hand for you." Psalm 139:4, "I know every word of yours before it's even on your tongue." Psalm 139:13, "I knit you together in your mother's womb." Psalm 139:16, "I have seen you even before you were unformed." Isaiah 44:3, "I pour out blessings to you." Isaiah 54:3, "I am the one who teaches you." John 3:16, "I gave you my one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to believe in him." John 10:29, "I will never let you go." John 14:3, "My Son Jesus has prepared a place for you." John 16:7, "I am guiding you into all truth through the Holy Spirit that I have given you." 2 Corinthians 6:18, "I will be a father to you." Matthew 10:30, "I know the number of hairs on your head." Matthew 19:4, "The kingdom of heaven belongs to you." Matthew 25:34, "The kingdom of heaven belongs to you." And more and more. Acts 1:8, "I have made you my witness." And I could go on and on and on. "I have bought you with my blood. I have secured you in my love. I have freed you from your sins. I will deliver you out of this body of death. I have given you victory over sin and death." And on and on. This is what the Lord says to those who are in Jesus Christ. This is what I think kept Paul preaching Jesus, even though some were amazed, even though his own people persecuted. This is what kept Paul preaching the truth. Let's pray together. God, just to meditate on one of those truths that we heard at the end. That you loved us enough to send your only Son, Jesus, to die on our behalf. That through Jesus Christ, we get to look forward to life eternal in a kingdom that is eternal, the kingdom of God. Lord, may we encourage each other with these promises. May we, even now, share with each other our stories and receive grace, receive encouragement and welcoming. That we know that in the family of God, we might be amazed, but I pray there's no persecution. There's no rejection. There is only thankfulness to God for what he has done on our behalf. Lord, help us even to go through Scripture, to see the promises of God, and to be reminded, no matter what anyone else says of me, this is what God says of me. No matter who might say it, or the fear of man that might rise up, we would walk in the fear of the Lord as the early church did. That we would remember what our God says of his children, his sons and his daughters. In Jesus' name, amen.